Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, March 18, 2025, Zechariah.
All right, before we get started, just to let you know, we are having Upland Bible Church March Madness, and the brackets are out in the hallway. Grab yourself one if you want to play. Have a lot of fun. You won't make a lot of money, but have a lot of fun. And make sure you put your name on it. That's real important. I don't have the gift of figuring out who you are when you fill these out. So put your name on it. And then also there's a place down here, a little bracket that's been drawn in, and this is in case there's a tie. In case there's a tie, the tiebreaker is you put down the total points of the championship game in that little box right there, total points. So if you think it's going to be 71-70, then you would put 141 points in that little box right there. Whatever you think the score is going to be, put it in there. Just in case there's a tie, that'll be the tiebreaker. So the brackets are out there. Fill them out. They have to be back tomorrow. This is a very deep point. They have to be back tomorrow. I know it's a lot easier to fill it out after the games have been played. But the idea is to fill it out before the games are played. So have them back into my hands tomorrow. And hope you all have a lot of fun. And not to worry, I always come in last. Just so that you know that the one who's running this is not cheating. So I always come in last or next to last or close to last. I'll tell you what, the ladies in here are the best. The ladies are the best at filling these things out. And they do it very scientifically, like, oh, I really like their uniforms that they wear. You know, the colors are really nice. And so you see, the very scientific how they do this. But they fill it out. And last year, Sherry won the whole thing over here. And she's already said she's going to, well, she's, she said she's going to definitely beat her husband. That's what she said. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1, and we are in that great section of 8 visions. Zechariah 1:7 to Zechariah 6 verse 15. A series of 8 visions. They were given to Zechariah in one night. And we're in vision number 1. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things In Jesus Christ's name, amen. This is by Tom Gilbreth. Humanity grows worse. When most people think of end times, they think of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilences and 666 and the Antichrist. They think of massive disasters and a new totalitarian global order. Big picture items. But the Bible also talks about individual human beings. And it says a series of deadly changes in mental attitude and outlook will infect most of humanity in the end time. It talks about seemingly small things among individuals. Things like ungratefulness and disobedience to parents. And that's widespread all over America today and around the world. Ungratefulness and disobedience to parents that will have a massive cumulative effect on the whole world. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 warns that in the last days perilous times will come. It then describes some of those perils. But it does not mention the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It does not mention the great judgments of God described in Revelation. Instead, it illustrates end time perils by pointing to individual human proclivities. Now that's his word he had in there, proclivities. How many of you know proclivities? A strong inherent inclination to things that are totally wrong. In verses 2 through 5, this passage says, the last days will be perilous, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. That word for is the translation of the Greek word gar. It assigns a reason. And in this context, it means the very same thing as because. Perilous times will come, and here's why. Because men will be, and then it gives a list of things that will describe most of humanity in the last days. It's interesting that like war, deception, and other signs of the end of the age, each of these things have always existed in human beings. The prophecies, therefore, refer to a dramatic increase in all these matters as we get closer to the Lord's coming. like war and deception, lack of self-control, and blasphemy will grow worse. People will become even more headstrong and arrogant, prouder, and more selfish. It's perilous to live in a world where people's greatest love is the love of self and the love of money. Ungodly pride makes humans dangerous, makes them easily offended and quick to vengeance. When brutality becomes the norm, society grows more perilous. When people hold truth in low regard, slander becomes widespread, and widespread slander erodes all systems of justice. Volumes could be written on how these things have already taken hold and are right now being cultivated in human hearts, especially by our educational system and in entertainment. When I watch the seething rage against Jews and Israel for defending themselves against terrorists, I wonder how much further humans can fall. Yet the Bible says it will get worse. Zechariah 14:2 foretells a time when all the nations will gather for war against Jerusalem. Revelation 13, 4 through 8 says that at one point in the future, the world will not only follow, but will actually worship the Antichrist. He will at first support the Christless religions of the world, they which have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. We're not there yet. Satan's plan for the Antichrist is being held back by the special presence of God the Holy Spirit that began at Pentecost, and that restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit will be removed when the church is removed at the rapture. In the meantime, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, 2 Timothy 3:13. Therefore, we're still living in the church age. We still have the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, these are the days that we need to walk the spiritual walk, to walk in virtue love, to walk in truth. And that's what John has been emphasizing in 2 John, walking in virtue love. And then 3 John, walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God. That's the spiritual walk. And this is the time now we need to be walking the spiritual walk in the security of God's will, plan, and purpose for our life, to live close to Him and according to His Word. Well, here we are in Zechariah, and you notice he quoted Zechariah. All righty. Zechariah chapter 1, we are in the series of 8 visions, Zechariah 1:7 to Zechariah 6, verse 15. We're right now in the first vision, which is Zechariah 1, verses 7 to 17. The red horse rider among the myrtle trees. Now, verse 7, well, when you read it, we have the actual date, and it's February 15th, 519 B.C. Now, you won't see February 15th, 519 B.C., but that's exactly what it says. It says, on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Shabbat, and the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, and the grandson of Iddo. That, what was given in verse 7, is February 15th, 519 B.C. Okay? You might want to even write, it's not a sin to write in your Bible. February 15th, 519 B.C. That's verse 7. And then verse 8, and we haven't completely exegeted all of verse 8. Verse 8, during the night I had a vision, and behold, a man was riding on a red horse. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in Theophany, and we studied the doctrine of Theophany. And he was standing among the myrtle trees. The man riding on the red horse is identified in Zechariah 1:11 as the angel of the Lord, and therefore this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The other riders are angels accompanying the Lord Jesus Christ. The rider on the red horse identifies Jesus Christ as the Redeemer and the Savior. It speaks of the blood of Christ. It speaks of the salvation work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's the first advent. And then it also speaks of the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ and judgment on unbelieving armies, where there will be blood flowing as high as the horse's bridles for 180 miles, Revelation 14, 14 to 20. Pictured here is the physical presence of the divine Messiah who cares for his people, who has a fantastic plan for his people, and he stands ready to protect them and deliver them from the Gentile nations. Behind the rider on the red horse were riders on red, brown, and white horses, and these are troops of elect angels. So verse 8 so far says, during the night I had a vision, and behold, a man was riding on a red horse, the Lord Jesus Christ in Theophany, and he was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine. And then it goes on and says, and behind him there were red horses, King James says sorrel horses and white horses. We have the conjunction vav prefixed to the adverb acher with the third person singular masculine suffix, plus the plural of the noun sus, modified by the plural adjective adom, plus the plural adjective sarok, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the plural adjective lavan. We start out with a vav, and the vav is the connective vav, translated correctly, and then we have the adverb acher with the third person singular masculine suffix acher. Aleph, A C H A R, acher, and acher with the third person, singular masculine suffix, is translated, and behind him. And behind him is behind the Lord Jesus Christ. So behind him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we have sus, S long U S, sus. Sus is the Hebrew word for horse. And then we have it in the plural, horses. And then we have three different colors of horses presented here. We have, first of all, adom. Aleph, A-D-O-M. And Adom or Adom means red, red horses. So we have Adom, Sus, red horses. Then we have Sarok. S-A-R-O-Q. Sarok. And Sarok means, we'll translate as sorrel or brown horses. And then we have Lavan. L-A-B-A-N. Lavan, and Lavan means white, white horses. And behind him, behind the Lord Jesus Christ, were red, brown, and white horses. Okay. One. Behind the Lord Jesus Christ are three troops of elect angels. Three troops of elect angels. Point two, Alpha Troop. Alpha Troop, that's the red troops. And these red troops, they are the slaughtering angelic troops. Now this has a dual fulfillment, this vision. It looks eschatologically forward to the second advent when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent. And so that's the full, far fulfillment. There's also a near fulfillment of these troops where the Lord Jesus Christ gives them a mission, a military mission, to go throughout the earth, throughout planet earth, and see the condition of what's going on with the nations of the world and report back to him. And this is right now in the day of Zechariah. So that's the near fulfillment. There's a dual fulfillment, eschatologically at the second advent and right now in Zechariah's day. So first of all, the Alpha troops, the red troops, are the slaughtering angelic troops. Point three, eschatologically, the far fulfillment at the second advent, the red troops slaughter the invading armies in the Valley of Megiddo. This occurs Armageddon, the second advent. So eschatologically, at the far fulfillment, the red troops slaughter the invading armies in the Valley of Megiddo at the second advent. Four, the red troops slaughter the armies that besiege Israel at Armageddon. The red troops slaughter the armies that besiege Israel at Armageddon. And that includes the armies of the King of the North, Russia. And I hope you keep praying for our president. You don't make deals with Russia. You don't make deals with Russia. That's where Ronald Reagan was right on. He did not make any deals with the Russians. And he just said no to them, no to them, no to them, no to them. And then he told them, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. He did not make any deals with the Russians. They are satanic and evil. And there is an evil dictator. It's not Zelensky in Ukraine. It's Putin in Russia. There is a satanic dictator. And keep praying for the president that he doesn't make any deals with the Russians. The thing is, I always get a kick. We played the Reagan here, the movie. I got a kick out after a while. All the Russian leaders started dying. This one died, and they replaced it with another one. He died, replaced it with another one. He died, replaced it with another one. He died. And President Reagan said, how can I talk to these people when they all keep on dying all the time? He never made deals with them at all. So the Red troops slaughter the armies that besiege Israel at Armageddon, the armies of the king of the north, which is Russia, the armies of the kings of the east, communist China, the armies of the kings of the south, the pan-Arabic bloc, and the armies of the revived Roman Empire under the leadership of the Antichrist. That's the Red troops slaughter the armies that besiege Israel at Armageddon. Five is Bravo Troop. Bravo Troop are the brown troops. These are the separators. Again, this is looking eschatologically, the far fulfillment at the second advent of Jesus Christ. At the second advent, the far fulfillment, the brown troops are the separators. Point six, the brown troops are angel separators who separate the wheat from the tares. And this is seen in Matthew. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 24. As you can see, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and Jesus taught them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed wheat among the wheat and then went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? Verse 28, an enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. That's the second advent of Jesus Christ. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. That's all unbelievers, judgment at the second advent. Then gather the wheat, the believers, and bring it into my barn, the millennial kingdom. Well, this is Bravo Troop, the brown troops, the angel separators at the second advent, Matthew 13, 24 to 30. And then point seven, Charlie Troop. And Charlie Troop are the white troops. And the white troops are the deliverers. The deliverers. Eight, the white troops represent victory. The white troops represent victory. They ride white horses. Point nine, the Lord Jesus Christ rides a white horse at the second advent. When he comes back at the second advent, he is riding a white horse. And Charlie Troop, they're all on white horses, returning with the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19, turn over to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God, the Living Word. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses. And this is the Charlie Company, the elect angels returning with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is on a white horse, and the elect angels are on white horses, and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of generals, and the flesh of mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great." And then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse, the Lord Jesus Christ and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. And with these signs he had deluded, deceived, those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. So there's a dual fulfillment here. The far fulfillment is the second advent of Jesus Christ. The near fulfillment of these three troops, the red horses and the brown troops and the white troops, they are going to be sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ all over planet Earth during Zechariah's time. Remember, the Jews are back in the land, but there's no fortifications, there's no walls. And so these are the elect angels that Jesus Christ sends out on a military mission. Go all over planet Earth and report back on the situation on the earth right now in Zechariah's day. That's the near fulfillment. So dual fulfillment, Zechariah's day, and also far fulfillment, the second advent. So again, verse 8 says, "During the night I had a vision, and behold, a man was riding on a red horse, and he was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine. And behold, and behind him, the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany, were red, brown, and white horses." Now, in verse 9, Zechariah didn't understand what he saw in the vision. So we have, "Then said I, O my Lord, what are these?" What's going on here? I see this vision, but I don't understand it. What's going on? So this is the conjunction vav prefix to the cal imperfect of amer plus the interrogative pronoun ma, joined by a makef to the plural of the demonstrative pronoun ele, plus the noun adon with the first person singular suffix. Well, this time we have a transitional vav. A transitional vav. And the transitional vav is correctly translated then. And not only is it a transitional vav, it's also a conversive vav. And the conversive vav converts the imperfect tense into a perfect tense. And again, you will never know this if you study from your English translation. You never know this. It means, it's always great for me. I understand exactly now why it's translated the way it's translated. This was the imperfect tense, but it's got a conversive vav, converting the imperfect into a perfect. And then amer, which means to say, but it's in the been converted to a perfect. So it says, "Then I said." Then I said, and then we have adon. Aleph, A, D, long, O, N. Adon. And Adon is the Hebrew word for Lord. First person singular suffix, my Lord. So, a couple of things here. One, the word Lord is used in our verse for an angel. So Zechariah now is addressing an angel, not Jesus Christ. This isn't the angel of the Lord. This is the teaching angel, an interpreting angel, a teaching angel. So the word Lord is used in our verse for an angel. Two, this angel is an interpreting angel or teaching angel. This angel is an interpreting angel or a teaching angel. Three, in Old Testament times, God used angels to teach truth of the Word of God. In Old Testament times, God used angels to teach the absolute truth of the Word of God. Four, Zechariah has an angel that comes to him and explains the truth of the vision. Zechariah has an angel that comes to him and explains the truth of the vision, so that this truth can then be presented accurately by Zechariah in the Word of God. So Zechariah has an angel that comes to him and explains the absolute truth of this vision, so that this truth can be presented accurately in the Word of God by Zechariah. Five, Zechariah addresses this teaching angel as Adon, Lord, and that's out of total respect for his authority. Zechariah addresses this teaching angel as Adon, Lord, out of total respect for his authority. Zechariah has total respect for the authority of this teaching angel. 6. So, my Lord in Zechariah 1:9 refers specifically to the teaching angel who was teaching Zechariah and explaining what Zechariah saw in his vision. So that phrase, my Lord in Zechariah 1:9 refers specifically to the teaching angel who was teaching Zechariah and explaining to him what he saw in this vision. Seven, if Zechariah is going to benefit from this teaching, then he must have total respect for the authority of this teaching angel. And that's why he addresses him as Adon, my Lord. If Zechariah is going to benefit from this teaching, then he must have total respect for the authority of this teaching angel. But then, the same thing is true for the royal family of God in the church age. If you as a believer are going to benefit from the teaching of the Word of God, you have to have total respect for the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Total respect. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time and mine, and you will never benefit from the teaching of the Word. 8. The angel referred to in the vision as the angel who was talking with me, and this phrase, the angel who was talking with me, is found in chapter 1, verse 11, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, chapter 1, verse 19, chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, chapter 5, verse 10, chapter 6, verse 4. In all the way through this, the angel, that phrase, the angel who was talking with me, was not the angel of the Lord. It is not the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. This is a teaching angel, an interpreting angel, a teaching angel. So this angel referred to in the visions as the angel who was talking with me in chapter 1, 11, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, chapter 1, verse 19, chapter 2, verse 3, 4, verse 1, 4, verses 4 and 5, 5, verse 10, 6, verse 4, was not the angel of the Lord. It was not a theophany of Jesus Christ. This is the teaching angel. So point 9, the teaching angel, the interpreting angel, the teaching angel showed Zechariah the meaning of this vision. Zechariah didn't understand. He saw the vision, but he didn't understand what was going on. So God provided a teaching angel. Now, we don't have teaching angels today in the church age. Now, you can call me an angel if you want, but I'm not an angel. You could call me a demon if you want. You can call me anything you want. But the teacher and communicator today is the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Not God doesn't use teaching angels today in the church age. So corrected translation, then I said, my Lord, addressing this teaching angel. And then we have the interrogative pronoun, ma. M-A-H, Ma. You didn't know Ma was spelled M-A-H, did you? Ma. And Ma asked the question, what? And then the demonstrative pronoun Ela. Aleph, E-L-E-H, Ela. And Ela, these, and it's a reference to the three angelic troops of verse 8. Then I said, my Lord, addressing the teaching angel, what are these? And the angel who talked with me said unto me, and this is the noun malak, with the definite article ha, plus the conjunction vav, prefixed to the kalim perfect of the verb amer, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, plus the kal active participle of daver with the preposition baith and the first person singular suffix. The vav is a connective vav, correctly translated and. And then we have the word for angel, malak. M-A-L, Aleph, A-K, malak. And malak is the word for messenger or angel. This is the Hebrew word for angel. This is an angel as a messenger from God, specifically a teaching angel, an interpreting angel, a teaching angel. And then we have the verb davar. D-A-B-A-R, davar. Now, this is the verb, and I showed you this before, we would often say in seminary, daver, just so we could tell the difference between a comets and a pathak. And when you have comet pathak, that's the verb. So this is the verb, davar, and from that verb is a noun, D-A-B-A-R, notice, D-A-B-A-R, D-A-B-A-R, what's the difference? Comets pathak, that's the verb, comets, that's the noun. But you would pronounce them both davar. So some of you see me writing up here, and then I've even had you come back, I think you made a mistake. I said, well, I probably did. I've made a lot of mistakes. But, you wrote one thing one way, and then you wrote it, and you said that these are different words. One's a verb and one's a noun. Well, that's right. So, one, the verb means to speak. The verb means to speak. Two, from this verb we get the noun, davar, which is the word for word. So, daver, the verb, means to speak, and from this verb comes the noun, davar, which means word. Three, the one doing the speaking is the teaching angel. The one doing the speaking is the teaching angel. For this teaching angel is teaching the absolute truth of the Word of God to Zechariah. This teaching angel is teaching the absolute truth of the Word of God to Zechariah. Five, he is explaining and interpreting the visions that Zechariah saw. He is explaining and interpreting the visions that Zechariah saw. And then the preposition baith with the first person singular suffix means with me, Zechariah. And then the verb amer, repeated, with the preposition el in the first person singular suffix, said to me. So the corrected translation. Then I said, my Lord, addressing the teaching angel, what are these? Referring to these different troops, the red troops, the brown troops, the white troops. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? And the angel, the messenger of God, the teaching angel, who was speaking with me, said to me, I will show thee what these are. So this is the first person singular personal pronoun, ani, plus the hifil imperfect of the verb ra'ah with the second person singular masculine suffix, plus the interrogative pronoun ma, joined by a makef to the personal pronoun haim with the paragogic hay. Oh, I hate it when the paragogic hay gets in there. Plus the demonstrative pronoun el. The personal pronoun ani. Looks like that. That's Aleph, A, N, long I. Ani. And Ani, first person singular, I, referring to the teaching angel. This personal pronoun puts the spotlight on now this teaching angel, who is now teaching Zechariah what he saw in his vision so that Zechariah can understand it. So here is the teaching angel teaching Zechariah what he saw in his vision so he can understand it. Ra'ah means to see. In the hifil stem, which is what we have, it means to cause one to see, to show someone so they can understand it. The second person singular suffix, you, refers to Zechariah. And then the interrogative pronoun ma, once again, means what? The demonstrative pronoun elah, these things are. So the corrected translation, I will show you, and the I is the teaching angel, I will show you, Zechariah, what these things are. So verse 9 so far sounds like this. Then I said, my Lord, addressing the teaching angel, what are these? What's going on here in this vision? And the angel, the messenger of God, the teaching angel, who was speaking with me, said to me, I will show you what these things are. One, the interpreting angel showed Zechariah the meaning of the vision, and he did so by allowing the actors in the vision, allowing them to speak. Pretty cool. The interpreting angel showed Zechariah the meaning of the vision by allowing the actors in the vision to speak. Point two, the first speaker, or the first actor in the vision, was the central figure astride the red horse. The first actor or the first speaker was the central figure riding the red horse. Three, this is the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. Four, in verses 11 and 12, we're only in verse 9, in verses 11 and 12, the man standing among the myrtle trees is further defined as the angel of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. So the first speaker, the interpreting angel, showed Zechariah the meaning of the vision by allowing the actors to speak. The first actor, the first speaker, was the central figure riding the red horse, the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. In verses 11 and 12, the man standing among the myrtle trees is further defined as the angel of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. 5. The first speaker, the Lord Jesus Christ, referred to the other riders as the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth. This is the near fulfillment of this vision. There's a dual fulfillment, near fulfillment in Zechariah's day, and the far fulfillment at the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. So the first speaker, Jesus Christ, referred to the other riders as the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth. This is in Zechariah's day, right now, to check on the situation in the world. This was a military order from Jesus Christ to these elect angels. Check out everything and come back. And we're going to see that we haven't got to verse 10. I'll go ahead and read you what verse 10 is going to sound like. Then the man who was standing among the myrtle trees, the Lord Jesus Christ, answered. He's the first actor and speaker, and explained, "These are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth." That's what verse 10 is going to sound like. 6. In other words, this is a military operation carried out by the three troops of elect angels in verse 8. This is the near fulfillment. This is a military operation carried out by the three troops of elect angels in verse 8, the near fulfillment. Alpha troops, the red horses, Bravo troops, the brown horses, Charlie troops, the white horses. 7. These angelic forces are going to protect Israel during this time, right now, on the earth, in Zechariah's day. The returnees from Persia under Cyrus and Darius have come back to Israel, Jerusalem. So these angelic forces are going to protect Israel during this time on earth, Zechariah's day. And this was a very unique and very special time. First of all, what was the first paragraph? Repent. Change your thinking. You got to repent. You got to get out of negative volition, you get the positive volition. You got to get out of arrogance. You got to get into humility. We need to build the temple. That's got to be first. Spiritual priorities have to be number one. Why? Because the living and true God, Jesus Christ, is going to dwell in the Holy of Holies. We need to get that straightened out first. There are no fortifications around Jerusalem, but that's why the Lord Jesus Christ sent these elect angels all over in a military operation to see what the situation is in the world. And you know, this was one of the most unique times. Israel had over 200 years of peace. Over 200 years of peace. So 7, these angelic forces are going to protect Israel during this time on the earth. 8, so the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany sent out troops of elect angels for patrolling and reconnaissance. There we go. For patrolling and reconnaissance throughout the entire earth. The Lord Jesus Christ in Theophany sent out troops of elect angels for patrolling and reconnaissance throughout the entire earth. 9. The patrol reported to their leader, now called the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, in verse 11. So I'll even tell you what verse 11 is going to sound like in corrected translation. So they answered, the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was standing among the myrtle trees, and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, the whole world is at rest and in peace. This is the result of their recon, worldwide recon. So the patrol reported to their leader, who is now called the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ in Theophany. That's verse 11. All right. So, that brings us to verse 10. And in verse 10, the first actor, the first speaker, the Lord Jesus Christ in Theophany, we have him in verse 10. And we'll take a look at that part of the vision next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.